I'm Steve Potter, and coming up later on Cityscape, artist Salma Urastu on her Mokra exhibition. Sergei Prokofiev composed his famous work, Peter and the Wolf, in 1936. It was commissioned by a children's theater in Moscow. Performed by an orchestra with the help from a narrator, the story is about a young boy, Peter, who lives with his grandfather in the clearing of a forest. When Peter is outside with a bird, duck, and cat, each of which is represented by a different instrument in the orchestra, a wolf appears. Here's the signature melody from the piece. Next weekend, the St. Louis Symphony's performance of Peter and the Wolf will feature new visual projections and lighting artwork by students at Webster University. This morning, producer Alex Hoyer talked with the symphony's music director, David Robertson, Webster University president Beth Strobel, and student Blake Manns about the upcoming production. He first asked David Robertson about what inspired him to present Peter and the Wolf in a new way.
Well, Peter and the Wolf is often relegated to concerts for children or family concerts. And while I particularly love family concerts and have great memories and think they're really important, they tend to be then looked down upon, either by people who are without family or who say, well, that's a piece for children. It's not really for me. Whereas Peter and the Wolf is such a beautiful piece of music and so incredibly deep in terms of what it's saying, like a story that you read to your children and rediscover, for example, Wind in the Willows, how beautiful it is. We thought that it would be really nice to present it in a way that would be completely appropriate for children to come in, but have the type of depth that an adult would look at and say, wow, that's right, now I remember this. So that there's this real connection to the universal and eternal message that it's bringing. And, you know, we couldn't think of a better group to do that than the incredibly inspired people at Webster.
Okay, and let me turn to Beth Strobel. How did it come to you initially?
I believe that I received an email from Adam Crane saying, we're thinking about this. What do you think? So we set up a meeting, I think, in a week's time.
Yeah.
And when we were face-to-face and talking about the art and the collaboration and the challenge and this opportunity, we were instantly ready to roll.
And is this new territory for Webster University, or have you done things like this in the past?
We really have been partners with professional arts organizations for decades, and we've worked with the symphony in many ways, but I think this particular project is taking us to new territory.
Yeah, I think so.
And Blake, you're in a class. You're a senior at Webster University, is that right?
That is correct.
Now, you were tasked with the job of coming up with art for Peter and the Wolf. When did you first hear about this, and what was your first reaction?
Our initial reaction was, this is something totally different that we've never done before, but we are ecstatic to do it. The concept was that we were going for a more edgier Peter and the Wolf, more contemporary than previous versions. And so we started looking a lot at Russian modern dark art and things that would capture both the attentions of the adults and children in the audience. And from that, we've done many researches on all the movements in the piece, and we're looking at how we can best portray that and keep audiences captive through the whole piece, visually and aesthetically.
Was this part of a regular class?
This is actually, Webster has an amazing opportunity called ILEs, Independent Learning Experiences. And we have formed an ILE over projection design, which is a new and upcoming form of entertainment design. And through this, we were able to stumble upon this amazing opportunity and fulfill the course.
About how many students worked on it? Do you know that?
Four. It was me and Natalie Arco, Jordy Van Ness, and Ryan Tang.
Mm-hmm. About how long did the entire process take from start to finish?
Oh, getting a quantitative number on that is a difficult challenge.
There's always the thing with artists is that there's the iceberg. There's the part where you clock in. Mm-hmm. So I did 2 hours on this today. But the other 22 hours you've spent thinking and dreaming about it, you know. So it really is one of those things that the whole being is involved with it. But I remember when we were first shown the various different possibilities, not only was there a wealth to choose from, but there were a couple of things where, you know, when you know the music well, it's as though you suddenly see a visual that evokes the music perfectly, you know, and the space that it's going to be performed in Powell Symphony Hall, and just all of these things. So, you know, I'm trying to, like, get him off the hook with answering how long it took them, because I think that this is really the thing with artists. You know, there isn't the, I punch the clock and now I go home and my brain no longer is engaged with this.
And especially if it's something that you love, you seem to maybe not always punch that clock.
No, exactly. And that's the thing, is that I think that many artists in all sorts of fields, I've heard it in terms of popular music, when someone's recording a song and they say, you know, you're never really finished with the song, you just stop working on it. And I think there's probably a sense of that for all of us as artists.
And I think that we'll hope that that will be the case for our audience.
Yeah, exactly.
That Peter and the Wolf, a timeless story that has been interpreted and reinterpreted for many, many years by many, many artists, and heard by many audiences, should be a unique and special experience that night that will continue to evoke reaction in them beyond that performance.
So in trying to set a visual, you have the stage at Powell Hall. You have the orchestra on the stage. There's a projection screen behind the orchestra, and then you're going to be projecting onto that screen.
Yes, the screen, and then lighting will be using the shell of the orchestra stage to do LED lighting and to match the visuals on screen and enhance those.
Specifically about the lighting aspect, how did you create an artistic vision for that?
That would be Jeff Baim, actually. Jeff Baim has been listening to the score and going off of sort of the style that we've set. And we've all had many concept meetings listening through the score over and over, and what it means to us and how we interpret each movement individually and how it relates to the whole piece.
So your primary focus was the projection then?
Yes.
What does Peter and the Wolf mean to you?
Peter and the Wolf, it's a story about travel and experiencing new things beyond the greater unknown. And I think with this specific style of watercolor and running, and we've gone with sort of an abstract feeling to it, it is exploration of the unknown.
So it's not the Disney animation. I think a few decades ago, Disney did an animation short of Peter and the Wolf, and it was very cartoonish. It was very nice, but really focused on children's. Your approach is more geared toward adults.
Yeah, it's more abstract and symbolic. We certainly do metaphorically have visual representations of what's happening in the story, but we leave some of it up to the audience to interpret how they feel about the piece.
Beth and David, I'll start with you, Beth. I want to ask each of you, did you have an experience that you remember with Peter and the Wolf as a child?
I have not necessarily a childhood memory, but I do have the David Bowie narration of Peter and the Wolf in my LP collection. And certainly that was a unique artistic approach to the story. So as I began to read more about Peter and the Wolf as we took on this project, I found that I had many more associations with it than I remembered. And it's been a story I've known forever. I can't pinpoint the first time I became aware of Peter and the Wolf.
What about you, David?
You know, there are lots of things. The very first full score I ever got was a score of four Prokofiev works, two of which are on the program, the Classical Symphony and Peter and the Wolf. And, you know, I was in a music shop in Los Angeles, and we went in, and Dover Publications had just started reprinting in beautiful editions large full scores, and I was there with my music teacher after a performance that we'd done of Wind Quintet from the high school, and you know, and I came rushing over to him and I said, Mr. Anderson, look, they have this score of this. And one of the people who worked at the music shop was clearly so taken by this overenthusiastic young man that he just reached up, pulled it off the shelf, and handed it to me. And so while I know many different versions of Peter and the Wolf, that sense of, you know, the just the sheer joy and enthusiasm for music being rewarded by a complete stranger, but a stranger who shared this kind of childlike enthusiasm for music is something that for me just infuses the notion not only of Peter and the Wolf, but of the whole exchange between people who love music.
That's a great story. You mentioned that there's the other Prokofiev piece that's going to be a part of the St. Louis Symphony's performance, but there's also going to be Rimsky-Korsakov's The Snowbane Suite and the U.S. premiere of Tan Dunn's Contrabass Concerto, The Wolf. Talk a little bit about that.
You know, it's interesting because when we were we started the program originally with where do we put the U.S. premiere of this new piece by Tan Dunn, which is a concerto for contrabass, of which there are very few, it must be said. Bass players know a number, but the general public would have difficulty coming up with one.
And Tan Dunn is the man who did the score to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Absolutely, and many other works. And we've performed a number of his works in the past. People in the front rows of Powell will probably remember the Water Concerto that we performed a few years back, where, in fact, we handed out rain ponchos to the people in the front because they might get wet. So it was a little bit like a ride at Disneyland or Six Flags. But the thing about the Tan Dunn is that he takes the bass and actually has it with the Western tradition of playing. Also, he makes the bass player learn about the very ancient Chinese traditions of musical string playing, most notably the horsehair or horsehead fiddle, the erhu, which has no fingerboard, so the string is out in the air. And so you have to you pull it to the side. And Eric Harris, our principal bass, who is an amazing musician, has done this wonderful job where at times he is playing the bass in a traditional Western fashion that you might hear, say, in the opening of the slow movement of Mahler's First Symphony, but also with this sound that is distinctly Chinese and immediately recognizable and coming out of an instrument where you don't expect it. And, of course, the whole notion of the wolf here is this sense of how much is the wolf for the Mongolian people. It's based on the wolf totem, which is a novel, Chinese novel, recent vintage. How much is the wolf an other, and how much is the wolf a reflection of ourselves? And, of course, the moment that we realize this is what the piece was about, the idea of Peter and the wolf, where Peter doesn't go about trying to kill the wolf, as the hunters are trying to do, and Prokofiev, to a great extent, shows the hunters in a slightly satirical way. Mm-hmm. There's a notion of the innocence and the sense of justice that childhood has, which is also part of the sense of innocence and the awareness of humans being a part of the natural landscape, and the wolf and the mother wolf and the cub being in the same relationship to nature as humans are to the natural landscape. So that and the whole idea of the snow maiden and the fairy tale aspect of this with the Rimsky-Korsakov, as well as this notion of the past that Prokofiev, tongue-in-cheek, does with his first symphony, where he goes back and says, I want to write a classical symphony to show that I can do modern things with an old form. There's a whole bag of associations that we hope people will take away. And for us, the crowning glory is this incredible realization by Webster. It's absolutely spellbinding. I mean, it really is. It is beautiful beyond words, which is, of course, you know, what a presentation like this should be about.
Definitely. And I think that the visuals can make an already fantastic piece of music that is great to the ear without the visuals. It can make it even better in a way. Have you gotten a grade for this, Blake?
We have not. I guess we will be seeing opening night.
Do you get a grade for it?
We do, yes, indeed. The ILE is graded by how well we set our own standards at the beginning and how well we complete them. I think with this project, it's certainly tested all of us to our abilities, and we will certainly see.
Beth Strobel, do you have any influence over, as the president of the university, do you have any influence over the grade that Blake gets?
I don't, but I'll certainly be a grateful audience member.
You'll put in a good word?
Absolutely. Okay. And I think I just want to express gratitude to the Symphony, such a wonderful organization, for reaching out and giving our students this opportunity. To work side by side with professionals is invaluable, and our education for our students would be less than it could be without your partnership. So thank you
so much.
Well, I want to thank all three of you for joining us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's producer Alex Hoyer talking with St. Louis Symphony Music Director David Robertson, Webster University President Beth Strobel, and student Blake Manns. The St. Louis Symphony presents Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf, November 27th through 29th. For more information, visit the Cityscape page at stlpublicradio.org. And if you can't make it to Powell Hall on Saturday the 28th, you can hear the concert live right here on St. Louis Public Radio. The broadcast begins at 8 o'clock. Coming up next on Cityscape, artist Salma Arastu. This is St. Louis Public Radio.